Amen. If you would, open your Bible to John chapter 15. John chapter 15. And let me just share with you this morning real quick, as Robert was talking about the college ministry. On January 17th, we're hosting our first ever young adults gathering where we're going to have a luncheon where we're inviting young people, college students and singles from all the different universities, SBU, MSU, BBC, and Ozark, OTC, and all the different College of the Ozarks, on and on. And so the amazing thing is we made a connection at Baptist Student Union, and already we have 13 college students that do not attend Southgate that are already planning on coming that weekend. Amen? Now, check this out. Just for a minute, and that was a weak clap. I'm going to give you a second and just a minute to do a little bit better the second time around, all right? The Bible says clap your hands unto the Lord, and I know some of you, when you get to heaven, you're going to be amazed that we're allowed to clap and even dance a little bit, right? And I know being a Baptist, that's kind of odd, but, you know, David danced for the Lord, right? I don't want you dancing this morning, but I'm going to share with you some things that deserve the recognition of God. And this past year at Southgate, there were several things that occurred that we can celebrate and we can say, man, that is incredible. Some of those things were this: additional funding. At the end of the year, we had additional funds that came to us. And so we were able to send additional funding to the North American Mission Board. We were able to send, if we can't, there we go. We were able to send additional funding to the International Mission Board. We were able to reduce our debt by paying down over $160,000, getting us under $800,000 on our mortgage. Come on, yeah? We hired, this is a good place for some clapping. We hired a new pastor. Yeah. We took on medical missions outreach. We upgraded our online presence. We added and upgraded a new website. We added a new roof, which we didn't pay for. It's even better. Well, we paid insurance, but you get the drift. We never canceled a service. That's a win. Many churches, right? Promise never closed, and that's a win. Remodeling during the lockdown. Thousands of masks were made during COVID. We did our first ever online VBS. And then, through KTTS, we were able to minister and serve to over 400-plus families. And all of God's people said, amen. Amen. I believe, for a church that's over 3 decades old, that we're just getting started. Amen? And in John chapter 14, Jesus says, or actually in John chapter 15, John 15, Jesus says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away, and every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. Already you are clean because of the word that I've spoken to you. Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine and you are the branches, and whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. And if anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers, and the branches are gathered and thrown into the fire and burned. And then verse 7, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. Now, Father in heaven, I'm claiming that right now in this moment. That God, as you've directed our hearts, as you've directed our leadership team, as you've led us to a moment, Lord, where we could potentially accomplish incredible things in the days ahead. And God, we're not asking you to do this for the sake of our name, but God, for the sake of your name and for the good of your people. And Lord, we pray this morning that our hearts would be stirred, that our lives would be challenged, and that we would leave here today not just passionate about what God is doing at Southgate, but what Jesus is doing for his kingdom. And we ask it in Jesus' name, amen. Now, as I shared with you this morning all the things that God has done, I'm here to remind you that even in the middle of a pandemic, one of the most uncertain times in human history, God is at work. God is at work, and he desires to see us, to see you and me fulfill our calling and to fulfill our commission. In fact, the mission that drives Southgate is posted in the fellowship hall of our church. And it says this, that we equip every believer to go and make disciples. And I would add to that, we equip every believer to go and make disciples that make disciples that make disciples that make disciples, because that, my friend, is the mission of the New Testament church. From nursery workers to church planters to missionaries, God has called us to an incredible opportunity and the potential to see God do something beyond ourselves is sitting at our doorstep. This past year has taught us about the fragility and the brevity of life. Unfortunately, many of us have lost friends this year due to COVID, others due to other illnesses. My mom lost her husband this year. I have a friend from Chicago that's the head of surgery at Silver Cross Hospital there in New Lenox, and he's on a machine today trying to battle through COVID, and it's just a reminder of the brevity and the fragility of life. James said that our life is nothing more than a vapor. On a cold morning, you walk out and you breathe and you see that mist. It's there 1 second and it's gone the next. I had a picture in my timeline post up and on social media this week of my girls 12 years ago when we went to the beach in Florida, sitting on the ocean there with pacifiers in their mouth, and my oldest is turning 16 this month. Life comes. Life goes. One writer said, only one life will soon be passed, and only what's done for Christ will last. And I want to share with you this morning that in all of this, with life being so fragile and life being so short, our city needs a church that will live for something significant. Our city needs a church that's going to live for something eternal. Our city needs a church that's not caught up in the pandemic or in politics, but that's caught up in the person of Jesus Christ. Oh man, our city needs a church that's dialed in, focused, abiding in, remaining in, pursuing the person and work of Jesus Christ. I recognize that life and family and ministry can be overwhelming. I understand that, in fact, all too well. Trying to have a strong marriage, trying to raise two teenage girls that are completely different, trying to lead a church, it's very challenging and very difficult. My failures in each of these roles are compounded. When I forget my number one role, when I forget my number one responsibility, my first and my foremost calling, and my first and foremost calling is not a pastor. It's not a dad, it's not a husband, it's a follower of Jesus Christ. Before I am anything else in this world, I'm a follower of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ has called me to abide in Him. And if I'm not abiding in Him, everything else will come up short. No matter what we set to accomplish this year, nothing worthy of eternity will happen if we lose our first priority of abiding in Jesus Christ. I'm praying this year that God makes the vision clear for each of us, but no matter how hard we work and what we try to accomplish, we must first learn to abide. We must first learn as individuals and as followers of Jesus Christ to pursue Him, to know Him, to love Him, to fulfill His calling in our life, and that calling is to pursue Him. I believe this morning that courage and clarity comes into your life when you have the conviction to abide. Courage and clarity comes into your life when you have a conviction to abide. In our text this morning, Jesus is preparing His disciples for the time when He would no longer be with them. Jesus invited them, invited His disciples into an intimate communion. I want you to know me. I want you to pursue me. But when you know me and when you commune with me, when you abide in me, I'm also going to commission you. And I want to commission you to spread the gospel to the ends of the earth. The amazing thing is that on the night of His crucifixion, Jesus shares with His disciples how they might live a life that is not only fulfilling, but a life that is fruitful. For a disciple, it begins with abiding. And so as we think about the coming year, and we think about the vision going forward, We're being challenged to live the abiding life. Christ reminds his followers that before commission, there must be communion. We will never fulfill our purpose as a church, as a family, as individuals, until we pursue Jesus Christ. We cannot accomplish our purpose, our calling, our destiny, until we pursue Jesus Christ. And so the big idea this morning is this, is that an abiding life leads to an abundant life. An abiding life leads to an abundant life. And friends, I want you to know, I believe that God wants to bless your life this year. I believe that God has some miracle moments in store for many of us this coming year. I believe that God's blessing, we're on the precipice of seeing God just pour out his blessing on our lives. And I want you to experience that this year. Because whatever Christ has called us to, we cannot accomplish it without abiding. He wants to give us a new way of looking at life. He wants us to see and pursue eternity. And so that abiding life, that abundant life, is a life that deepens or is deepening, if you will, in communion. And we see that in verse number 4. Jesus says, abide in me. Abide in me. The word abide means to continue, to remain. The idea here is that we would pursue Jesus, that we would pursue Jesus as we seek to know and to obey his words. It means to keep fellowship so that his life can work in and through you to produce fruit. And friends, I want you to know today we find joy and peace and purpose and comfort when we abide in Jesus. We find peace, purpose, comfort, abiding in Jesus. Matthew Henry, the old commentator, said, it's the great concern of all of Christ's disciples constantly to keep up a dependence upon Christ and communion with him. The calling that we have on our lives is a calling to be in a relationship with Jesus. We are called to follow him. We are called to pursue him. It's not difficult to allow other people, other pursuits, to hijack walking with Jesus. It's not hard to do that. So many things in life pull us away from the primary calling of pursuing Jesus. And yet, we're invited to know and love this Jesus. Many of us have been saved a really long time. Some of you that are sitting in this room today have been saved 20, 30, 40, or more years. It's not difficult to drift away from Jesus. In fact, for many of you, it's easy to have confidence in your religious knowledge because you know some things about the Bible. You know some things about Jesus. You know some things about God. And I want to tell you this morning, and please note this, knowing stuff is not the same as knowing the Savior. Knowing stuff about God, knowing stuff about his word and having a robust biblical knowledge is not the same thing as walking with Jesus. It's possible to become an expert at serving God and a novice at being his friend. John 15:15, so convicting because Jesus says to his disciples, no longer do I call you servants, for the servant does not know what his master is doing, but I've called you friends. It's a whole thing altogether different to be the friend of Jesus Christ. We are people devoted to a person. We're devoted to a relationship, not a religion. We devote our lives to pursue Jesus, and he transforms us, and he leaves us every step of the way. In John chapter 14, if you turn over to verse number 5, Jesus is talking to his disciples, and Thomas, the doubting one, said to him, Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way? And Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except through me. When you follow Jesus, when you pursue Jesus, he shows you the way. He shows us the way. And so I ask you this morning, is your relationship to Jesus Christ, is it real? Is it authentic? Now, George W. Truett was the pastor a long time ago of First Baptist Church of Dallas. One time, one of his church members or one of his students came up to him and they said to him, Dr. Truett, I need to know, is God real to you? And Dr. Truett, if you would, I don't need a theological or theoretical or philosophical answer. I just need to know, is God real to you? And Dr. Truett, with tears coming down his eyes, looked at that young man and said, boy, I want you to know that God is more real to me than the skin that covers your bones. And friends, I want to ask you today, is God that real to you? Are you walking that closely with Jesus Christ this morning? Because reading a book about a person is not the same thing as knowing the person who wrote the book. And so I want to challenge you today to deepen the quality of your devoted time. You see, to break through to abiding, you need to consider deepening the quality of your devoted time with God. What is the quality of your time with Jesus? I want you to know this morning that abiding more and doing less often leads to more results. It sounds to some degree counterintuitive. You want me to do less and spend more time with Him? Absolutely. Because I believe the more that we sharpen the axe, the more wood we're going to cut. We need more time with Jesus Christ this coming year. It might include solitude. It might include silence. It would include uninterrupted time with Jesus. For the young hipsters out there, it'd mean essentially not taking a picture of your Bible and posting it for everyone to see that you actually spent time with Jesus. It's not looking at Facebook first thing in the morning. It's not reading your texts and going through everything else first. It's waking up the first thing in the morning and pouring the coffee and sitting down in the chair, reading the Word and getting on your knees before the Holy One. Deepen that quality time. Abiding in Jesus is an invitation to be renewed, to be restored, to be released, to do what God has called you to do in His strength and in not your own. But I also want to challenge you to broaden that devoted time. See, to break through to abiding, you need to consider broadening your devoted time from an appointment to an all-day attentiveness to His presence. It's not unusual for us to spend time with Jesus in the morning and then forget about Him the rest of the day. One of the things that I so often have to do is to invite God into every day or in every moment of my life throughout the day. So easy for me to get moving and get going and start having to make this decision, and God just has a way of slowing us down. And I think if this pandemic has taught us anything, it has taught us to slow down and consider who God is. Consider Him in all aspects and all areas of your life. About anything that comes before Jesus at the expense of Him as an idol. Bruce Wilkinson said, more abiding means more of God in your life, more of Him in your activities, thoughts, and desires. And so I want to ask you this morning, how different would your life be this coming year if you included Jesus in every moment? If you included Jesus in every part of your life, how much of an impact would your life have this year if you just made today a commitment to walk with Him? That old hymn that used to say, just a closer walk with Thee, granted, Jesus, hear my plea. Oh man, that would be the cry of our hearts this morning. Oh, that I might just walk close to Thee. Granted, Jesus, I'm not going to sing it. Can I get an amen? What would your home? I'm saying this in my own life, man. What would your home look like if you were devoted to going deeper in your walk with Jesus this coming year? Hey, you know that abundant life is a life that deepens in Christ, but it's also a life that depends on Christ. And we see that in verses 4 and 5. For sake of time this morning, I want you to look at verse 5 because he says, I'm the vine, you are the branches, and whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, man, you might underscore this next line because it says, from apart from me, you can do nothing. Jesus was teaching his disciples that you can't accomplish the work of God in human strength. Every single one of us must rely on Jesus in every single area of our life. If I'm called of God, if I'm called of God to do anything, to be a dad, to be a husband, to be a pastor, to be a follower of Jesus Christ, if I'm called of God to do anything, I'm limited. I'm limited. And yet the one who called me, He's sufficient. In fact, He is sovereign. He is almighty. He's the Alpha and Omega. He's the beginning of the end. And He is inviting us in this text. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is inviting us to depend on Him so that He can enable us to do what He has called us to do in this coming year. A life that's abiding in Christ is a life that is dependent on Jesus. It's a life that's trusting God to bring fruit from commitment and communion with Him. Followers of Jesus recognize that we are needy. At the end of the day, there's not a day in my life, a moment in my life, that I do not stand in need of the grace of the living God. Every single one of us stand in every moment in the need of God's grace in our life. I mean, in just this moment, I took a breath and I did that because God created me to be able to do that. And I'm not doing anything in my life, whether I recognize Him or not, apart from Him in my life. We should never get to the point where we aren't dependent on Jesus. We should never get to the place where we are not recognizing Him and depending on Him daily. So many of you claim to follow Jesus, but you function like you don't need Him. So many of us claim to follow Jesus, but we function like we don't need Him. A life that's really producing fruit is a life that's dependent on Jesus. And so often we depend on our own strength, our own abilities, our talents, and our talents to reach our goals. I think of the parents that are sitting in this room today, and you're ignoring God's design for parenting. You're ignoring it. I think of the spouses who think they can change their spouse. I've been married for 20-some years now, and one thing I have learned about marriage is that I cannot change my spouse. And certainly, she is not going to change me, even when she's right. That is the supernatural work of the Holy Spirit. I think about the singles today that are ignoring what God says about dating, sex, friendship, and their future. I think about those with financial issues today, living above your means and ignoring generosity and trying to have more stuff to impress people you don't even like. I think about those that are going to work, not recognizing God's goodness in the work that God has called you to do and His glory in it. Because I'm going to tell you today, if you refuse and ignore abiding in, communing with, and walking with Jesus, it will leave you exhausted. It's going to leave you exhausted. Busyness that distracts you from depending on Jesus will drain you. Disciples who depend on their walk with Jesus learn that He strengthens them and lives through them. He enables you. Faithful is He who calls you. God isn't interested in what you can do. He's interested in who you are. He's interested in who you're becoming. We need the wisdom, the character, the strength of Jesus that comes from a dependent walk with Him. This is the priority to Him, and it should be a priority to us. And more than God giving us something to do, God is interested in making us who He wants us to be. Those who make an impact for the kingdom are the ones who are most concerned with pursuing Jesus. In fact, He empowers those who are abiding Him in a real, authentic, intimate relationship with Jesus, it changes everything. It changes everything. And I know you've heard me say that, and I'm going to keep beating that drum as long as I'm the pastor here, but when Jesus is the primary, preeminent relationship in your life, it changes everything. It'll change your marriage. It'll change your finances. It'll redefine and clarify your calling before God in this day and age. It will change everything, and it will change and impact everyone around you. And so I ask you this morning, are you ready to abide? That deep, abundant, abiding life, it's also a life that develops a crop, and we see that in verses 5 and 6 that I just read this morning. Abiding in Jesus will fundamentally transform who you are. I just mentioned it a moment ago, but God is more concerned with who you are than what you do. Your character becomes more and more like Jesus. It's the byproduct. That's the fruit. The more you walk with Jesus, you will be like Him, and it will impact everyone you know. I find it fascinating oftentimes in religious circles, Baptist circles, and in Christian circles that the focus of many of our messages and the teachings that we have is all about becoming something. And that becoming something is usually an outward manifestation of what we have determined what religious people should look like. But I'm going to tell you, there's a lot of Christians today that go to church and they give to the church and they volunteer for different ministries and they do certain things that most Christians probably should do. But they're meaner than the devil. Amen? Some of you this morning, you on your way to church probably were this close to cussing out your kids because they spilled coffee in the car. Let's just be real. Or you argued with your spouse the whole way here. Or you're stressed out because your finances aren't in line. And you went to Walmart, or you went to Dunkin' this morning, or you went to Krispy Kreme, and God forbid that they did not have the donut that you wanted or the coffee that you wanted, and the line was too long. And in those moments, your character or the lack of character reflected in your abiding relationship with Jesus Christ is revealed. So what's fascinating to me is that God isn't interested in all that we do. He's interested in who we are becoming. Because you can do the right things and be the wrong person. And so your life, the crop that God wants to develop, is the person that you are becoming. And it's really characterized in the Beatitudes. It's characterized in the fruit of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness. And so can we as a people say that we are characterized by the Beatitudes of Jesus Christ and the fruit of the Spirit given by Paul in the book of Galatians? Now, this week was saddening for our country. And I don't know, because I'm just one that I have a very difficult time believing the media. Regardless of who is responsible for the attacks on our Capitol this week, as a follower of Jesus Christ, not even as a pastor, it saddened me to see people that claim to follow Jesus Christ attacking our government institutions. Because we're not being persecuted. Our way of life may be challenged in the days ahead, but in the words of Jesus, he said, put down the sword. He brought together Simon the Zealot and Matthew the tax collector, who was a compromiser for the Roman government because he was collecting taxes for them. And he brought them together with the gospel and united them under a mission and said, hey, come and follow me, abide with me, and you're going to bear fruit. And so our lives cannot be defined by a political position. They're defined by the person and purpose of Jesus Christ. And I know that that's not going to set well with some of you today, but I am not doing my job as a pastor, and I'm nothing more than a hireling unless I teach you the whole counsel of God. And this church needs to be characterized by the fruit of the Spirit. We must be characterized by the Beatitudes. Blessed are the peacemakers, for theirs is the kingdom of God. Only by remaining in Jesus is there any possibility of fruit bearing. When you spend time with Jesus, you begin to think and act and live like him, and as a result, your life begins to bear fruit naturally and organically. For those type A's that are in the room today, this is the quote that goes at the top of your notes. But the quote is this: a fruitful life is a fulfilled life. If you want life to matter, if you want to live the significant life, live the abiding life, because it'll be a life that is fruitful. You cannot commune with Jesus and ignore his commission. Once you experience a real and authentic relationship with Jesus and your life produces eternal fruit, nothing else is as important as doing his will. And it's not just about living out the character of Jesus, it's about living out the commission of Jesus. We, as followers of Jesus Christ, not necessarily collectively as a church, because when Jesus stood on the mountain, he said, go into all the world and preach the gospel. He gave that commission to his disciples, not the church, because the church didn't even start until Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, when the Holy Spirit showed up. He gave the Great Commission to individual followers of Jesus Christ. And those who abide will develop a character and a heart for the commission. I love what C.T. Studd said. He said, some want to live within the sound of a church or a chapel bell. I want to run a rescue shop within a yard of hell. Now, who's in on that? Amen? There are lost people living here in Springfield. And again, I go back to what I originally said. This community needs a church that's a city on a hill. A church that's devoted and abiding in Jesus Christ. And if you become distracted from a call to abide, it will leave you powerless and it will leave you exhausted. And so, Southgate, let's dream big for 2021. I pray that everyone gets involved this year in the mission of God and the mission that he has for them personally. This could be the greatest year that we've ever had as a church. This could be the greatest year that you've ever had as a follower of Jesus Christ. Because I want you to know that Jesus didn't lead his disciples on the night before his crucifixion to a torch-lit circle to make our dreams come true. Our dreams, like the disciples, are always too small. And this morning, we're here to fulfill God's dream that we might bring him glory through a remarkably fruitful life. I want you to know this morning that the abiding life is an abundant life. And I want you to imagine what would happen in our church and our community if we just abide. What would happen in our church? What would happen in your family? What would happen in this community if you would just abide? All of life is complicated, it's challenging, and yet in this moment, God is inviting us to commune with him. So don't go at it alone. Don't go at it in your own strength. Ask yourself, what do I need to change to make my schedule deepen and broaden my time with Jesus this year? How can I include Jesus in every day, in every moment of my life? Do I need to silence the noise? Do I need solitude? In what ways am I living the Christian life in my own strength, and am I ignoring my relationship with Jesus and allowing other things to become a priority and a pursuit? For far too long, we use Jesus as a means to an end, a better, safer, easier life. Friends, Jesus has invited us to commune with him, and then he commissioned us to spread the gospel and equip every believer that makes disciples, that makes disciples. I would hope and pray that 2021 would be unlike any other year because we simply commit to abide. We simply commit to walk with Jesus. And if I could have every head bowed and every eye closed, how many of you'd say to me this morning, Pastor Jason, I want to experience that abundant, fruitful life. I want to deepen. I want to depend. And I want a crop to develop in my life. Would you just lift it up this morning? Lift it up. Jason, I want that for my, that's the vision this year, to abide and to remain. I want to walk with Jesus. Now, how many of you say to me, Pastor Jason, there's some things in my life that I need to prune out. We're going to talk about pruning next week. We're going to be in John 15 the next 3 weeks. But Pastor Jay, there's some things that have taken a greater priority than my walk with God, and I'm done with that. I'm all in with Jesus. Lift your hand. Amen. Amen. Hands are all over the room. Now let's stand to our feet with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. As I'm praying, or as the music, Derek, go ahead and start giving me some notes here. But as the first note hits, would you hit the altar this morning? On this Vision Sunday, on this new direction for our church, would you commit right here, right now, to walking and abiding with Jesus? Father in heaven, I want to thank you for your love for us, your commitment to us, your patience with us, giving us purpose, giving us a life to live that's worthy of your name. And I just pray for our church this morning that you would stir our hearts to develop a greater passion for you, a greater love for you, that we would lift your name up and that you would draw all men unto yourself. God, that this would be a banner year for Southgate, that this would be a banner year for many individuals sitting in this room today, that moms and dads, sons and daughters, and families would commit to abiding in and walking with Jesus this coming year. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Listen.